We're going to turn overseas now, where there were some tough questions today for the United States at a meeting of the UN Committee Against Torture. The committee wants answers from the U.S. on a number of issues, ranging from Washington's interpretation of the absolute ban on torture to its interrogation methods at Abu Ghraib and Guantanamo Bay. NPR's Rob Gifford has the story from Geneva.
Each one of the 141 countries that have signed the UN Convention Against Torture comes before the UN Committee in rotation every 4 years. This month, it's the turn of the United States. The State Department's senior legal adviser, John Bellinger, began the proceedings with a vigorous defense of the Bush administration's stance on the use of torture.
At the outset, I want to reiterate the United States government's absolute commitment to upholding our national and international obligations to eradicate torture and to prevent cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment worldwide. The President of the United States has made clear that, quote, torture anywhere is an affront to human dignity everywhere.
Bellinger and other senior officials answered more than 50 questions submitted in advance by the UN committee. Delegates then questioned them further in person, producing the unusual situation of senior U.S. officials being grilled on U.S. human rights abuses by delegates from countries like China and Russia. There were questions on the Bush administration's definition of the word torture, about the rendition of prisoners to third countries where they might be tortured, and allegations of the use of interrogation methods such as so-called waterboarding, in which a suspect is bound and immersed in water until he nearly drowns. One of the committee members is Norwegian psychologist Nora Sveaas.
We understand that the revised version of the Uniform Code of Military Justice is almost ready. We would like to know whether it contains provisions explicitly prohibiting all forms of torture and cruel, inhuman and degrading treatment. That it makes special mention and prohibition of methods like waterboarding, stressful positions, and short shackling.
Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Detainee Affairs Charles Stimson said he wanted to address what he called an underlying misconception in many of the questions raised about U.S. actions.
While the United States is aware of allegations of torture and ill treatment and takes them very seriously, it disagrees strongly with the assertion that such are widespread or systemic. They relate to a minute percentage of the overall number of persons who have been detained.
Non-governmental organizations and human rights groups had briefed the committee delegates yesterday and attended today's hearing. Jennifer Daskal of Human Rights Watch refuted the administration's claims about the scale of the abuse.
We know that that's not true. We know that there have been over 330 cases of documented abuse involving about 600 military personnel, and only 54 have been subject to any courts-martial proceeding. We know that there's been no high-level military officials subjected to any sort of real sanctioning. We know that there's been no CIA officials ever subjected to any sort of criminal prosecution. These are concerns, and it's no longer, in our opinion, acceptable for the administration, given the degree and the scope of the abuse that's been uncovered, to say that it's just a few bad apples.
Activists were also critical of justifications used by the U.S., such as military necessity and the inherent powers of the president in wartime. They say these are the kinds of justifications that the U.S. regularly rejects when they're put by other governments committing human rights abuses. The findings of the committee are non-binding, but NGOs say the hearing is a very useful way to put an international spotlight on U.S. government policies. The meeting will end on Monday. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Geneva.